Hey everybody, it's Elaine. It is Thursday, November 15th, 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. The year is 2018, and it's the Thursday afternoon PSS group call. And so let's start with check-ins and celebrations and see where we go today. Who wants to start us?
This is Julie, and I'll check in with what happened yesterday, which is that I found a vape pen in my son's backpack, my 14-year-old, and but the celebration is that I stayed really calm, and he stayed pretty calm. He got defensive at times, but we stayed pretty calm and just had a very long conversation about it, and so. That's the positive spin on it.
Is that he has a vape pen, but you kept your cool.
Yes. Yes.
Well done. Hard to do.
Well, yeah. Well, and I think the good thing was that I had some time to process it. They were at a psychiatrist appointment, so I had some time to sort of think about what I would do and how to react and. So it wasn't just, you know, here's a vape pen and my kid's in my face, and that would have been a whole different scene.
Well, and that was what I was going to ask, is how is that different from how it might have been, you know, a year or two ago?
Oh, yeah. A lot more yelling and extreme consequences, where this one was, okay, give me your phone, and he gave me his phone, and it was not, he's disappointed and bummed, but he knows that it's how it has to be, and pretty open conversation, so that was good.
That's awesome. That's
wow.
Really awesome.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Pretty bad, but pretty great.
It is kind of amazing.
No,
well,
it's
you know,
that's all right.
Yeah.
So here's what I would offer you, though, Julie. It's bad on the one hand, but it's not surprising, you know? Like,
it's not.
I mean, for any kids, not just our kids. There's nothing surprising. It's like this is part of parenting.
Yeah.
You know, how do you talk to your kids about sex, and how do you talk to your kids about drugs and vaping and smoking, and that's just all part of the conversation.
Right.
You know? And
yes, it is.
You know, so, yeah, it sucks, but it's going to happen. It's just part of it.
Yep, I know.
You know. So how do you feel about how you handled it?
I feel good. I feel proud of myself that I kept it together, and I think let him know that I'm here to talk, you know, and I'm willing to be honest with him and within reason, you know, and that I've done things that I didn't think were a great decision, you know, looking back, I wouldn't do them again. But we all, you know, he's in that age where he's trying to figure out where he fits, and he still doesn't know. And I think he feels like this makes him fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part, is helping him understand that there's other ways to fit in when he's just so hell-bent on this.
So is he hell-bent on it?
Oh, yeah. He's like, he likes the culture, and he likes the way it makes him feel, and he's just so sure like that this is how he wants to live his life. Like, oh my gosh, you're 14, you know, just blow your roll. And but then I can see there's also guilt there. So he's conflicted.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, conflicted is what you're going for at this point, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it.
I don't want him to be all in. I'm all in.
No.
Okay. So what about you, Elsie? What are you celebrating? And Julie, I just want to acknowledge that it's hard to celebrate something that's also a disappointment. So.
Yeah, thank you.
And important to find the silver lining, for real.
Yeah.
You know, we always say you can't control what happens, but you can control how you respond.
And having that time to breathe, I think, is good.
And Julie, I want to acknowledge that for you and give you huge kudos. That I'm not hearing in your voice, and maybe it's happened in a few days. Well, I guess it was just yesterday. Give yourself a huge pat on the back for not losing it. And being able to be mindful enough and have it a hard, hard conversation in it not blowing up. And I bow to you for that moment. That's really awesome.
Every day it's like, am I doing this right? So thank you.
Well, we are all there.
This stuff is hard.
It's hard. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what I would have said either, but a minor difference. So for me, what came up celebrating is sharing a moment with my daughter, who's a senior at Galloway. We were in the car on the way home from picking her up at school. I got triggered at my work. I'm doing some part-time retail work. A manager got triggered, and it wasn't a big deal, but I kind of replied, but I was sharing how I got triggered and in this situation, and then she shared how she was triggered, or how she was sharing how she was having difficulties with this one girl at school and how the girl behaves. And at any rate, and then later at home, Clara came back and shared another conversation, actually used the word triggered, how she got triggered. Or it was, for me, it was really, okay, well, I shared something personally that happened with me that resonated with her, and then the word came back out of her mouth, and I felt heard, she felt heard. So that was really kind of the best thing, that that there was at least a connection that was made.
Yeah.
So I'm going to celebrate
that. So many things come up from what you're saying. One of them, so many things. One of them is, you know, we tend to think of modeling as modeling good behavior, but sometimes modeling just transparency, so powerfully effective. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm human, and I make mistakes and struggle with things too. Is so powerfully helpful for our kids to see.
Right.
So, just really want to acknowledge that. And then the other thing that jumped out as you were saying that is how many times I'm beginning to notice years later things that I, you know, wasn't sure I had ever gotten across, and I'm beginning to see them showing up in the 20s.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. There's hope. Okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you saw it the same day. You heard the same word. That's great. Which is fabulous. And, you know, the more you can get them to start sort of sharing the language with you, the better. But I am beginning to see things. It's like, wow, she was listening 6 years ago. You know, like, it's kind of cool. So that's the other thing, is to begin, you'll begin to see it creep in different ways.
And sharing that language and being mindful about how to ask questions, and not that those are areas that I want to explore further too.
Great.
And understanding that the transparency and being open about successes or challenges that I've had is a great way to connect.
Mhm. Right. You know, and you've probably heard me say it before, but nobody likes the prissy perfect person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not real. And when kids see us that way, it's just not real. So So way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. I have so much to celebrate that I just want to celebrate that I went to see my kid.
Yay.
Crossed the pond to
Yay.
See my kid. And it was really weird because my kid has come out as trans non-binary, and so I felt like I was crossing the Atlantic to meet my child in some ways.
Wow. Wow.
And even though they came out a few months ago, it like something sort of crystallized in the last month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wild. It was really, really wild to sort of go be with my 24-year-old adult child and sort of redesign our relationship, like talking mm-hmm. about language and how do I refer to you and yeah, I know you're they, but you'll always be my daughter. And, like, you know, how do I be with that? So it was so really good about making the decision to go and the conversations we had, even though it was really hard. It was really great.
Wow. Congrats. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's big.
So hate to tell you all this keeps going. But
I know.
I know. I know. If I can get some of the language down now, it'll be amazing.
Well, and that is so it. I have the foundation of conversation that enables us to have these conversations.
Yes.
You know, I have the foundation, the communication foundation and the openness in the relationship to be able to have all of these really complex conversations. And yeah, they're hard, but they're not stressful, if that makes sense. It's hard because it's hard, but it's not hard because I'm worried about, you know, it's weird. So, and all of this is actually such a perfect segue into today's topic. So let's take a minute to take aim, and then let's talk about positive parenting and positivity because it's like the perfect segue, right, from everything we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to take aim on?
This is Julie, and I have struggled with this for a while, and I've talked about it here, but probably not taken as much action on it. And the relationship with my daughter, she sort of gets pushed aside because Logan takes so much energy. So she's almost like forgotten. Not quite, but it's something I would like to make an effort to be more conscious about spending time with her and make that effort instead of just squeezing her in where she just happens to pop up, you know. I want to put it on the calendar or something so that
So that's a solution. What's the change you want to see?
Yeah. I find that she just sort of slinks away into her room a lot, and I'd like to be with her, spending more time with her.
Okay.
So how that happens, I don't know exactly. I mean, it's...
So is it about time spent with her, or is it about feeling more connected to her?
It's the connection, and I think for her, like, the love language for her is time. And it's like being close to each other, almost like sitting next to each other and doing a parallel task is sort of that fills her bucket in some ways. So yeah, it's a solution, I guess, to spend more time with her, but I think that would lead to a better connection.
Great. So what jumps out at me, Julie, is there's sort of two things here. One is that the love language is one way to connect, but that the real goal is to connect.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't mean to dismiss the time spent in the love language because I know you well enough to know you know your instincts are good, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to hold that larger vision of, you know, you got to daughter entering that those sort of teen, preteen teen years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
yeah.
You want
seventh grade. A lot of stuff going on at that age.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to stay in her loop and in her orbit.
Yes.
Got it. Cool. Cool. And Ilse, what about you? Are you there?
Sorry, I was on mute.
That's okay.
I didn't say anything other than a big,
that's okay.
A hefty sigh of, oh, okay.
So I know that you're relatively new to PSS, right?
Right.
To the group. Okay. So the question I would ask you is as you focus in, what's one change you'd like to see in the next couple of weeks? One place you'd like to focus on creating some change? And I'll coach, if it doesn't hit, that's fine. I will coach you to it. Okay.
Having constructive conversations with Clara about college applications, where we, I don't come in nervous and she doesn't feel defensive. We're coming up on December 1 application deadline. I know she worked on her essays. I don't really know where she is on her essays. I know she's been staying up late and working. So the ability to check in without being just having her become triggered.
Without triggering. Yeah.
Without triggering. Right.
Yep.
Not
yep, without
reuse the word,
reaction.
But that's where I struggle.
Okay.
And I haven't read anything in this week's emails either. Just I have all the tabs open right now, but I forgot to look for the workbook ahead of class, but that's where I want to be.
Okay. Right. No, it's how do I begin to have conversations around college applications without and manage the triggers.
Yes.
Right? Because here's what I would say is it's reasonable to expect that she might get triggered because that's been your pattern.
Yep.
So what's really in your realm is how do I manage the trigger so that it doesn't escalate and you can tamp it back down. Because she's probably initially going to get triggered because that's what she's always done, right?
Yeah, or it's, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, I know she worked on her resume, worked on her essay. I don't know if she turned it in.
Okay, you're getting to,
I'm sure
that's the specifics, right? But I guess what I'm saying is the real issue here is you want to be able to have this conversation without having things escalate.
Yeah.
Okay, great. It's a good place to take it.
And she doesn't yell, or, you know, she's not, but she'll be short.
Right.
And, you know, we spend half an hour and 40 minutes in the car every night coming home. I got her in the car. That seems to me a good opportunity to have conversation, but she also needs time typically to decompress from being at school.
Yeah.
So we sing in the car usually.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Okay, which is a perfect segue to positive parenting. So let's go to positive parenting for a minute. Let's just talk about sort of what the topic is this week, because this is one of the four cornerstones, right? When we do any kind of planning, we look at the four cornerstones, activating the brain, parenting positively, shifting expectations, and creating systems and structures effectively. And we want to, before we move into action, we always want to kind of make sure we're looking at all four of these areas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cornerstone, or sometimes we call it a critical response area, right? And this is really about staying connected to the relationship. It's really about what you're talking about, Julie. It's staying in open, healthy, receptive relationship with our kids. And there are lots of different ways to do it. It's not just about being nice. It's not about rolling over and giving in. It's really about staying connected in the relationship, seeing what's working, playing to their strengths, being in these open conversations with them. And some of the strategies we teach in Sanity School around parenting positively are, you know, creating an environment that make it okay to make mistakes. You know, it's about the tone in your home and managing triggers and, you know, so mm-hmm. much of what we're already talking about today, right? Championing, transparency, believing, non-judgment. It's all, like, already we've been talking for 20-some minutes about parenting positively because it's at the core of so much, particularly when you're dealing with relationship issues, as both of you were looking at this week, is these, you know, variations on staying connected, being connected when the topic gets difficult, that kind of thing. So so what comes up as you hear about this notion of parenting positively, and you know it's value, I know it's a value for both of you, right? And you don't want to get triggered, but you do, and then you work on not getting triggered like you did, Julie. And so like, what comes up, what conversation do we want to have about positive parenting before we move into more problem solving, addressing the challenges you're bringing? What's coming up?
Well, you said something about it's not about always rolling over and letting them have what they want. That's not positive parenting. And I think in some ways it gets a bad rap almost because I think people think that's what it means. And that's not it. More about an attitude. I think it's not just let your kid walk all over you. It's an attitude, and it's about the just consistent. And I think that you can be consistent and have discipline and still be positive about it. It doesn't have to be yelling and screaming. So that, I like that you said that. That rings true for me.
Mm-hmm.
You can parent positively.
It's not having limits. How do you impose the limits?
Right.
How do you hold them? Right. How do, it's about the being, not the doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's coming up for you?
I have a post-it note on my computer here, and I don't know, I must have brought it somewhere on the site, but positive parenting, what does my child need now? What does my child need?
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of where am I at and where am I standing? And sometimes my husband has a tendency to focus on negativity and what mm-hmm. didn't get done or why didn't this get put back. And so there's a little bit of discourse there and challenge that I think sharing the information that I'm learning here to help them understand that positive parenting isn't just about, it's not about being positive and allowing them to roll over on you. But it is staying in that grounded in what does the child need now? What do they need?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for me, setting limits and expectations and following through with expectations are the challenge areas that I think might be helpful to have, and how does that work with the positive parenting?
Say that a little differently. So I think what I heard you say is,
you know,
that,
yeah. Having, you know, they're old enough to help out around the house, and would like them to learn some more life skills around that. Whether that's really what they need right now, I don't know. But to manage my husband's expectations of having them help out around the house. How to set up or implement chore charts. I've never done that. And,
right.
you know, and then creating the chart and
Well, what's jumping out at me, right? And you, and I've known you a little bit for a couple of years, not as well as I'm getting to know you now, right?
Right.
Some of us are not chore chart kinds of parents.
No.
Okay. Right? Julie, you with me here?
Oh, yeah.
Some of us are just, we're not. Some of us, those of us who have ADD ourselves, like, we're not, not, chore charts are not the only answer to parenting. Right?
Right.
It is
right.
One way. And so what I'm hearing you saying is that, that you and your husband have a value around wanting the kids to begin to see themselves as participants in the family dynamic.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and I kind of spoke to it a moment ago, I realized that there's kind of this, there's a being and then there's the doing. There's what you want them to do. And then there's how do you want to be with it while you're asking them to do something.
Right.
And we have a tendency to ask them or direct them to do something with our hands on our hips. I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Are you in my house? You're in my house.
You know, and then we're surprised that they push back. These independent creatures we're trying to raise, we're surprised that they push back when we treat them in a way that we would never treat a friend or allow somebody else to treat us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You know? They are little humans.
Yeah.
And I think positive parenting is about respecting them as humans.
Yeah.
Independent, autonomous beings. What are you thinking? I heard that yeah with a thought behind it.
Oh, no, I think that's spot on. You know?
So what's hard about it? Because there's a but.
Remembering how to ask and remembering how to be in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding, is this the right time for them? Are they even receptive? As another human, can they even hear this right now?
Mm-hmm.
If this is around, is this my agenda right now? Or is this, are they available?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we somehow want them to be available when we are because they're our kids.
Because I'm, right.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my mind, damn it. And it's on my brain.
I'm in charge. Yep.
Right. And, you know, and
so the,
daughters,
that language,
she's a senior.
Yeah,
go
goes back
go
to
ahead.
That language, right. No, I was just saying it goes back to that language again. And finding the right words to pull out of my brain in that moment or when I want to ask. It's, okay, what do I really want to ask? What's really, what do I really want to get out of this? Being able to slow down.
Yeah,
and
getting
then
really clear.
Teach that and share that with my husband. As well.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you can get to all the little details. Like we, if you look at the college process, right? You got a kid who's applying to college. She's fairly cooked, right?
Yep.
She's 17, 18, right?
Yep.
Okay. She's pretty autonomous. She's going to a good school. She's getting through there, applying to college. She's. It's not that there's not a whole lot more growing to do. There is. But by this point, she's got her thoughts and her feelings and how she does things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we have this habit of micromanaging the process. But when you ask yourself, what does she really need? Or what? Even what do I need to help me stay in a place of being supportive of her?
Yeah.
right? Because sometimes you can really get into a good negotiation that's like, look, I get that you're on top of it. This would be helpful for me to know so I can stay calm, right?
Oh, and I could totally say that to her, right, and she would get it, right.
Right. Like, not trying to micromanage you. I know you've got it. It would be really helpful. I'm at a point where it's November 15th. There's 2 weeks till deadline. I would like to have a conversation so I have a sense of where you are on things and see what support you need from me.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Really easy, open, and she would be receptive to it if you stay in that place of relationship. Right? And stay in a place of really respecting her autonomy as a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what tends to get in the way of that? Historically,
me, just because of that, just going to be me. and how I'm asking, and what's going
so
on in my head
ask-
right now is. Yeah, exactly.
How has the past interfered?
Exactly. Because the other day or over the weekend, I don't remember when, is there anything I can do to help? I didn't want to do it for you. She's really looking to find a planner that she wants to try and use to help her manage her time. There was a conversation about that, and we've gone shopping and looking and things. And I said, I don't want to own this. I want to try and co-pilot and help because you've got this. Was the basic gist of the conversation.
Right.
And maybe that went better, but I still felt like I was stumbling over what I was really asking as a check-in. See if she needed anything.
So let's get underneath it for a second. What was the stumble? What were you afraid to say or not to say, or what were you trying to avoid?
Her shutting down, or giving, one word answers.
What tends to have her shut down or give one word answers?
The way that I'm asking is, I don't know specifically.
What's your guess that she might be feeling that's got her shutting down?
Oh, God, I really don't know.
All right, so brainstorm. And Julie, jump in.
No, there's too much
to
do, or she's got...
Overwhelm.
Well, and if she's thinking she can't meet your expectations, if it's about what your vision is for the future, for the college applications, maybe you need to just say, what's your vision? What are you thinking this looks like? What does your future look like? And how do we back out from there too? Okay. And if you want to get a job doing this, you have to go to college and you have to apply to college by December 1st. So let's do it.
Right.
But I think it's sometimes for me, I'll put my expectation on them. Like, this is what I think you should be doing, so do it. Instead of does not really make any sense to you.
So let me pull back for a second, Julie. That's helpful. So it may be that she's shutting down because she's overwhelmed and she's not in the headspace to have the conversation yet. She hasn't agreed to have the conversation, so it's coming at her. It may be that there's this sense that there's that you're looking for a right answer, and she's not sure what the answer is.
Right.
And so if she doesn't get it right, then she gets it wrong, right? So that's what I'm hearing. It may be that, I mean, I don't know you well enough yet, so it may be that there's an old pattern of getting too much in the details and she needs to start with the big picture first, or vice versa. Right. So that, I guess that's what I'm getting. I'm asking you to look at a little bit. Is it a micromanaging issue? Is it making sure that you're having the conversation at a time when she's receptive to it? Because those are very different issues.
Yeah, they are. It's not micromanaging. I don't know. She is responsible and gets her work turned in, whether it's at the end of the day or if she's or if it's late, but it's turned in. But I think there might be something to expectations around that. And not so much about meeting them with respect to what she wants to do in life, because she knows that already.
The
dog, pardon me. But what are my own expectations?
Right. Is she afraid of disappointing you as soon as you open your mouth?
Right. And I don't know if that's either, but it resonated, so I'm going to lean into that a little bit and see if that feels right, and look for it.
The other question I want to pose for you to play with is, given her age, how are you doing with asking permission to have these conversations?
That's a really good way to do it.
That's another really powerful part of positive parenting, is to not to assume, because as soon as you say, I want to talk about this, it's your agenda. But if you say, I'd really like to talk about this, is now a good time? Or when can we talk about this? You're giving them ownership. I always say the most powerful tool for positive parenting is knocking on the door. Because when you knock on the door, they can say, come in. And you're handing the baton back to them. And so when we have these difficult conversations, we want to knock on the door. It's like inviting in the vampire. So Ilse, I want you to just sit with it for a minute and process while, and I want to shift to Julia for a minute. Is that okay? Okay, and then we'll come back and we'll sort of wrap it up. But Julie, shifting the focus to wanting to reconnect with your daughter, right? And part of it is for you and part of it is for her. And I know you well enough to know it's not coming from a place of should, right?
No.
So what do you want in reconnecting with her or deepening your connection with her? What's in it for you first?
What's in it for me? Oh, gosh. Sometimes I almost feel embarrassed that I don't know her the way I want to know her. Like, people ask things and I want to feel like I know and understand her better. And
for what purpose? For the sake of what?
Well, that's for my ego, to feel like I'm in control a little bit. But
I worry about her. I worry that, you know, what what's happening behind that closed door. And she's got a challenging brother who makes her days hard sometimes. And I just want to make sure she knows that I'm there for her. And I don't know that she does. Because sometimes I'll throw up my hands like, well, yeah, you know, your brother, he's can be a challenge. He can be difficult. And I'm not really solving the problem.
So what I'm
hearing I feel like I don't want to stick up for her.
What I'm hearing you saying is you want the connection with her because you want her to know and to feel that you're there for her, that you're on her team.
Yes.
And because you want to be connected enough to be able to be there for her effectively.
Yes.
Okay. And then there's this other ego thing, but we're going to put that aside for the moment and not let them think about what other people think. Right. Okay.
Because
these are juicier, meatier reasons, right?
Yes.
And you get permission to be human and have those other feelings too, right?
Thank you.
But really, it's about being able to really be there for her in the way that you want to.
Yeah, I want her to feel safe.
Yeah. Okay.
And when she retreats to her room, I think I have concern that it's because she doesn't feel safe, and not safe like she's going to be attacked or something. Although Logan does sometimes yell and he's hit her, not punched her, but, you know, sibling fighting kind of thing. but I want her to know that I'm looking out for her too.
Mm-hmm.
And not just him and not just defending him.
Okay. And what do you want for your relationship with her in the future?
Well, I'd like to fly across the pond when she wants to tell me something big, you know? I mean, I want to have a closer relationship. I want her to want to be in touch with me, you know, by phone, or come and have dinner with me at our house or something like that. That's the long-term goal. You know, I want her to bring the grandkids around. And I don't feel that closeness that I hope to have.
Okay. Do you feel like she wants that? Or doesn't even know that she wants that?
Because
I've never known a kid not to want it, right?
Yeah. She probably doesn't actively know that she wants that.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I don't know that she would say. I guess I could ask her. I could ask.
You could? Yep.
Do you want to have a closer relationship with me?
Do you feel like
I don't want her to be my best friend. I mean, that's not what I'm trying to say.
Right. Well, I was going to say, do you feel like that would be comfortable for her, or would that feel threatening? Like she's doing something wrong? And I'm asking. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I just know she's got some anxiety, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be too much pressure.
Okay. So if you stay in a place of what you want for your relationship with her,
mm-hmm.
What's possible to share with her?
What is possible?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell her I'd like to spend more time with her.
For what purpose?
I'd like to get to know her better.
Okay.
To learn more about her interests and have her show me things on YouTube that she watches videos about gymnastics and crafting and baking.
Cool. So what do you think interferes with the time you spend?
Partly it's my frame of mind where I'm distracted. Got to pay the bills. Got to do the dishes. Got to do this. Got to do that. And so I'm not making it a priority.
Okay. Well, that's cool to know, because that's not a major obstacle. That's just a logistical obstacle, right?
Yeah.
Can you think of times that you have spent time with each other where it's been really fun, sort of girlfriend kind of time? I remember you helping her when she was decorating the room, I think, or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while, but we would bake together and I guess that's one of the main things that we've done together that's more girlfriendish.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go to coffee, or although she would like that. I guess I could take her to Starbucks. That's easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
And she would feel, that would make her feel grown up, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think there's something really powerful about saying or sending in the message to your kids, I miss spending time with you.
Yeah.
I would like to spend more. I'm missing you. We get so caught up in the business of our lives. I'm missing just getting to hang out. Let's do something to just hang out. Right? And kids tend to be really receptive to it. I often hear parents who say, I want us to have family dinners. We're not having family dinners. And I always want to shift the conversation to inviting your kid to dinner. Right? Because you want them there, not because there's a should there.
Right.
And this is where what you want as a parent jives completely with what they want on some level. As long as you're not like an over-obsessive needy parent, which you're not. Right?
I'm not. No.
You're definitely not.
No.
So it jives. So it can be about, I miss you. You're getting older and you're fascinating, and look at all these things you're watching on YouTube. I'm ready to get to know the next stage of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What kid would not just thrive on that message?
She would love it.
Mm-hmm.
And so would you.
Yeah.
So what's in it for you, Julie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead and speak.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, no. It's all good. It's resonating for me as well.
A few months ago, I was kind of bemoaning, feeling lonely, and you said you are looking for intimacy. You're missing intimacy, just a person to connect with. And maybe that's that. I mean, maybe in a way, like I said, I don't want to be her best friend and I don't want her to be mine, but I am missing that connection of just hanging out with someone, just hanging out. And so maybe that's a need that could be filled for me and have a benefit for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we don't want to be our kids' best friends in being the friend and not being a parent. But we do want to be friends with our kids. We want to be in relationship with our kids. Active, conscious, connected, loving relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will tell you too, there are no five people on the planet I would rather spend time with than my family of five. Period. End story.
That's really cool. And that's what I want.
Right.
Someday.
And that is not inappropriate. It's not. It's just it's the relationships are perfectly appropriate. And I'm not stopping my kids from being in a relationship with other people. But the truth is, we'd all rather be with each other than almost anyone. We don't get to do it very often, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But there's nothing inappropriate about having intimate, connected relationships with your kids. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have ADD and you're inattentive and you're distracted, it's hard to prioritize it. And that's really what I'm hearing, Julie, is it's not about whether, it's just how do I make it happen?
Yeah. It's just a choice. I mean, I just need to choose to do it. And
invite her to the party.
Great.
Yep. Yeah. All right, so we're going to wrap up. So we got the final four questions. Right. What were you focusing on today? What's your aha or takeaway? What action do you want to commit to, if any? And if so, what do you want to do to set yourself up for that, for success with that action? And Julie, you usually have a hard stop in a couple minutes. So.
I do. I do. Back to work. Well, certainly at the end, I was focused squarely on Parker and that relationship. And I don't think I ever thought – I didn't think that was okay to have a close relationship. Not that close. I mean, that's the wrong word to say, but I've always had it strongly in my mind. I will not be my kid's best friend. I am their mom. But it's not that I'm not friendly, and I – would like to develop that relationship. So that's okay. And and I think that it plants the seed for the future. And her being open, willing to come to me and share her concerns and knowing that I'm there and I'm safe.
Yeah. I am 54 years old and my mom is my best friend.
Yeah.
Or certainly one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm the luckiest person in the world because my mom is one of my best friends.
That's cool.
All right. I was just saying when we say we don't want to be their best friend, it's that we don't want to be permissive.
Right.
Right. Or overshare or be inappropriate.
Yeah, I don't want to give her everything. I want her to still have to work for things. I don't want to, you know, go to Starbucks.
Right.
And then every time she says, I want to go to Starbucks. No, that's not what I'm looking for.
No, but there's something to be said for let's have a weekly date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The two of us. Let's get out of here. Where do you want to go?
Yeah. That's good. So that's my action step. Actually, that was I'll do that this weekend. I'll say, hey, let's go to Starbucks or Jamba Juice or something this weekend. And you can pick which one because there's five.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read a piece really many years ago about dating your kids. I'm a big believer in dating your kids.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to get going.
All right.
Thank you, Elaine.
Rock on. He'll say what about you.
Bye.
What's your focus? What do you feel like you focused on, and what's your takeaway?
Focused on conversation. With primarily with my daughter. And action item is.
Wait, first,
making
what's
sure
your
I'm
takeaway?
Knocking.
What's your aha or your takeaway?
My aha. Asking permission is a big aha.
That's great.
I am missing you and like to get to know you better for the kids side, for the relationship side. From Julie's perspective, that resonated with me. And action step is asking permission, I'd like to talk to you about X
is now a good time, or when can we talk? When is a good time to talk?
Great. Great. And can I just offer one more thing? My suspicion is that she will do well for you to give a precursor of what you're not trying to do. You know, she needs a little context.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
Right. I want to talk about this. I'm not trying to micromanage it, or I'm confident you're on it. It would just help me.
Yeah.
You know, give her an overview that says, you've got this. She needs that acknowledgement. So do you know the tool we teach, ACE, acknowledgement and then compassion and then explore your options? Does that sound familiar? ACE, acknowledgement, plus compassion, and then explore your options. And so that's really what this is about, is making sure to start with an acknowledgement.
I'm sure you've got this. I'm confident
you're
on all this.
Yeah, and I know it's a pain to have to talk to me because you're already on it. And
okay.
Or you already got counselors working with you, or whatever it is. And can we just have a few minutes, you know? Got it?
Okay. Yeah, I think the context is really important. Thank you for the reminder on that.
Yeah. Cool. All right, my friend. Rock on.
All right. Thanks.
I will talk to you soon. Enjoy your holiday.
All righty. You too.
Take care. Okay.
Bye. Bye.